Well, this morning our sermon does come to us from Luke chapter 1. I have already read the bulk of that reading. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a moment and just kind of read the surrounding context as we are a little pressed for time this morning. The title of the sermon this morning is Advent, Magnifying and Rejoicing the Reversal. Magnifying and Rejoicing the Reversal. Luke 1, beginning in verse 39, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord.' And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her home." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us this morning as we continue to contemplate the Advent, both the first Advent as well as the second Advent that we long to see happen. Help us to hear your word, and may your word stir up our hearts in a more confident faith, a faith that is more prepared and more a practicing of prayer and of service as we embrace not just the gospel message, but the supernatural and powerful context and promises that are attached to your gospel, not only with what you are accomplishing, but the means by which you accomplish it. Means that involve using sinful, frail, even doubting people like us as you constrain everything towards the new heavens and the new earth. Bless us this morning, for we pray and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. As we have been looking at Advent this year through the lens of Luke's gospel, we have noted that there has been, within the opening section here of the gospel, there has been this emphasis on doubt. But what we have seen is that there are different kinds of doubts. There is a doubt that can be attached to the very record itself. There can be a doubt that can be attached to the historical nature or the historical reliability or the witness testimony of those who claim to have seen these things happen. And so Luke, in wanting to help us to develop a confident and an expectant faith, has provided us a record that has been thoroughly researched as one who has known and has participated in the early days of the ministry of the church. And he has recorded these things so that we who were not there might have confidence in the record of not only what God has promised in ages past, but in the beginnings of those fulfillments that the church has waited for so long. There is a kind of doubt that expresses itself in prayer. A prayer where you ask the Lord to do something that He has promised, and yet when He reveals to you that He's going to do it, it can be very easy to go, "Really? Well, hold up. Well, how are you going to do that? My wife, she's old and she's barren. There's always some reason that we can come up with when we pray the right prayers, but where we can struggle ourselves to really believe that those prayers are heard, let alone that those prayers are answered, let alone that in the answer to those prayers that we get to play a role or that we get to even play a part. And so we can pray and we can ask and God answers and we go, whoa, hold up, back up now. It doesn't mean that we don't get to continue to participate, but it does affect the level in which we enjoy that participation. It can affect the level of participation that we have. But in God's grace, He is not asking for us to just blindly accept everything that He says without realizing that we are sinful and that we are frail, that we need help. And so God in His grace, even when we ask Him to do something and when He is working behind the scenes and He starts doing things and we have a hard time embracing what is happening, it doesn't cut us off. Advent is a time for prayer. It is a time for preparation. But Advent also is a time for acceptance. And it is a time for service. Acceptance. There is so much to accept. Not merely the historical record that Luke has recorded for us, but the very supernatural character of the events. It is easy for us at times to look back on the Bible and read something, you know, that's recorded for us in the New Testament and to think, oh, well, they lived back then. They were used to supernatural things. But the reality is God had been silent for over 400 years. And the people of God found themselves longing to hear from Him. But they had not heard from Him. They had not seen the things that former generations had seen. They were not experiencing those supernatural realities that some of the past generations had experienced. In fact, if you do an honest look at the history of the Old Testament, there's really only a small handful of periods where supernatural things were seen and witnessed on any kind of normal basis. The overwhelming majority of life during the Old Testament was lived out in the mundane, everyday, same existence that you and I have. Taking God at His word, even though we don't hear Him say it directly, trying to trust Him, trying to live according to what He has revealed, not doing a great job at it, and so practicing confession and renewal. It wasn't easier for them to have angels appear to them out of the blue and start saying, here's what God has for you. Accepting that supernatural character is not easy. Not just for people who live in a day and age that tells us the only thing that exists are things that can be physically measured, things that can be handled, touched, tasted, seen, heard. It was hard for Mary to have an angel appear and to start saying these amazing things to her. And so even for her, it was natural to say, well, how is this going to happen since I'm not married and I haven't known a man yet? How am I going to be that last iteration of your tabernacle? Right? As within the darkness of her womb, God's presence would be manifest once again, even as it was manifest in the tabernacle and had one day been manifest in the temple. But if you recall, When the southern kingdom was judged and sent into exile into Babylon, the glory cloud that was in the Holy of Holies, it was seen rising up out of the temple, and it was seen departing. And when the people came back and when the temple was rebuilt, the glory cloud never returned. But now, what was being imaged in the glory cloud is now going to be imaged in humanity. And God in His presence has returned, taking up residence first within this womb, and then within the world that He participated in making. It can be easy to think that this would have been nothing for her, and yet the reality is, for her to grasp what is happening here would have been earth-shattering to her. Her world would have been crumbling around her, and that acceptance, not only of the supernatural character of what was going to happen, but the cost of it became all the more real. She is a woman who has not known a man. She is engaged to a man. And she is going to become pregnant outside of marriage. In a culture that didn't look very highly on women expecting outside of marriage. In a culture, by the way, that had within the Old Testament law some pretty serious repercussions for women becoming expecting outside of marriage. There was a real risk here for Mary. There is real vulnerability for Mary. To trust God within this situation, to say, "Let it be done to me according to your word," is so hard and it is so difficult. And yet here she is. She has expressed some doubt. Her question has been answered. And she is willing to take the risk to become vulnerable and trust God and become the vessel through which the long promised seed of the woman, going back to Genesis chapter 3, that she would finally become that woman who would bear that seed. This was, by the way, it was one of those things that most women that were trained in the faith, that had embraced the promises of the covenant, that many women longed for. They longed to be that vessel. They longed to be that woman through whom the promised seed would be born. And you have the women throughout the history of God's people. You can see this in the longings that they have, especially for those who struggled with barrenness. Those who would look around themselves and see other women having children and wondering, I wonder if one of their children is that long-awaited child. I wonder if she is that woman, and how easy it would be to start losing hope. And the older that you get, Sarah, though having a verbal promise, decided that she would sidestep things and try to help out and offer her handmaiden. You and I do the same things. We just do it in our own particular ways. Hannah was a godly woman, and she longed to have children. And when she had one, she dedicated him to the service of the Lord. She longed to be one of those women through whom a covenant seed would come into this world. Mary, in embracing this, is embracing something that within the historical expectation was one that was seeing and being a position of honor, even though it was also a position of vulnerability, a position that would be costly. And so, how do you, when you are faced with the answers to your own doubts and the calling that we receive to embrace the supernatural character of what God is doing and to open ourselves up to the vulnerability of embracing Him by faith and opening ourselves up to His service, which will cost us? Where does the motivation come from? Where does the confidence come from? Well, for Hannah, and even for Mary, if you notice here, it comes from the same place. And on the one hand, it comes from embracing and magnifying the power of God, and it comes from embracing and magnifying the purposes of God. Now, I know that's very broad. Specifically, what is it? The specific is this: that God, through a child, is turning the world upside down, so that the rich and the powerful and the strong and the proud are going to be humbled and brought low. And the poor and the humble, the weak, those who do not have status, they are going to be lifted up. When you read through Mary's prayer here and her celebration of what God is doing, and when you read Hannah's prayer, as we read earlier in the service, you'll see these same themes are being unfolded by both of these women. And the temptation for you and for me is when we are faced with the vulnerability of embracing God and the vulnerability of serving God, the temptation can be to look to ourselves and to look to our own strength, to look to our own ingenuity, or how can I participate, or what can I add, or how do my gifts play in, or how do my talents play into this, and what do I bring to this? And what they are magnifying for us is that it's not about what they are bringing, it's about the fact that God has come to them and what God is bringing to them. Because it's about what God brings to us, beloved, that provides us all that we need to engage in the vulnerability of trusting Him and serving Him. It's what He brings to us. It is His mighty arm that He brings. It is the strength of His horn, as Hannah prayed. That is what God is bringing to us. And the picture is this, that there is nothing that can stand against God. And yes, God does allow things to go on, and He has allowed rebellion to continue, but He is doing so as one who has a plan in place. He has the power to end it at any point that He wants. And in His grace and His mercy, He is not yet ending those things. And yet the reality is, even as evil continues to exist, it cannot stand up against, nor can it thwart what He is doing. But how confident are you in that? Is that how you wake up in the morning first thing? Man, I am ready to take on the day because nothing can stand in God's way in my life. Or do you start out like that, and then you get up to make coffee and the water thing's empty, and you're like, oh, man, I got to fill up the coffee maker with water. And you immediately, you're already thinking, what else is going to go wrong today? It's not that silly, but the reality is, it is easy to get sidetracked. It is easy to start getting frustrated with life, to get frustrated with this world, to get frustrated with ourselves, with a spouse, with a child, with a coworker, with a boss, with a teacher, with a teammate. You can fill in the blank. It can become so easy to become frustrated by the presence of things that appear to be standing in our way of enjoying God, enjoying our salvation, and serving in confidence. And so what we do is we tend to take little things and we magnify them into bigger things. And we take an eternal thing like, oh, I don't know, the triune God, and we minimize him. We shrink him down. And so the process of actually, with great purpose and intention, magnifying who God is to ourselves is a most necessary step in our daily lives of following God, as it is one of the most central features of Advent itself. But God doing it by turning things upside down. The one who, as Isaiah 57 says, the one who inhabits eternity, coming and dwelling with the humble and the lowly, in order to raise up the humble and the lowly to enjoy his infinity forever. These are his purposes, and these are his ways. Are you magnifying the greatness of God to yourself in this Advent season? Are you magnifying that the devil cannot stand in his way? The world cannot stand in his way. Sin cannot stand in his way. Flesh cannot even stand in his way as he takes flesh onto himself. And as he is born into this world as someone who appears poor and lowly. Not someone born into a palace, but as we'll sing in once in David's royal city tonight, born in a cattle stall, which I don't think is historically accurate, but it makes for good singing. He was born into the lowliest of situations. What are you magnifying to yourself this Advent? Are you magnifying the stresses of the season? Are you magnifying the stresses of family? Are you magnifying the losses, the difficulties, the challenges? Or in your faith, are you magnifying to yourself the mighty arm of the Lord, which has done his things and will bring them to completion? And one of the ways we know that is that he came and he took on flesh. And what was accomplished through the first Advent will be brought to completion in the second. What are you magnifying to yourself this Advent season? What is important to you when it comes to how you engage in serving God? Serving him as an individual, serving him within your family, serving him within the church. What is it that moves and drives? And what is it that gives you confidence to try? Is it because you feel like you're gifted enough? Is it because you feel like maybe you're godly enough? You know what? This week, I had 4 out of 7 days of quiet time. So I'm going to go help out with ESL this week because I kind of feel like I've got a good groove going on and I might be able to help. Is it your faithfulness? Is it your righteousness? Is it your intentions and motivations and gifts and skills and all those things? Or is it that God takes the weak, the poor, the lowly, those who bring nothing to the table, and He uses that to constrain everything to the new heavens and the new earth? Is it what He brings to you, or is it what you think you're bringing to Him? Now, if you're like me, you think you're adding something. If you're like me, the confidence in really getting out there and serving quite often comes from how well you're doing, how well your life is going, how well you're doing in reading and praying and godly conversations, and I didn't have any bad arguments this week, or I didn't make that bad decision. It's so easy to think that our engagement comes from our giftedness, or our engagement comes from our talents, or our engagement comes from our piety. Your engagement comes from the fullness of grace and truth that has been made yours. Because the God who took up residence in the tabernacle, and the God who took up residence in the temple, and the God who took up residence within Mary is the God who has taken up residence in flesh, and He has taken up residence in your heart. And the fullness of who He is and the fullness of what He has done is imputed to you because of faith. Ironically, what you bring to the table is the Christ who is in you. What are you magnifying to yourself this Advent? What is it that's driving your service, your confidence, to take on the vulnerability of serving Christ? What Mary encourages us to embrace here is that it is God in His mercy who is overthrowing everything to make us His, and through us to scatter the proud in the thoughts of their hearts, to bring down the mighty from the thrones, to exalt those of humble estate, and to fill the hungry with good things. As we prepare to receive Christ through the table, my last question to you is, what are you hungering and thirsting for? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Your gifts to us are incalculable. We cannot grasp them. We cannot fully take it all in. It is so overwhelming. And so, Lord, help us to embrace that. And in feeling overwhelmed, to turn to You in magnifying Your greatness so that we might cultivate even more overwhelmness. That we might cultivate within our hearts and our minds that You truly are far beyond anything that we can pray for or anything that we can think up, anything that we could imagine. And that You and your eternity and the unlimited nature of who you are, what you are doing, the strength in which you do it, and the choice that you have made to do all of that through what appears to be weak and small and humble. That it would lead us, Lord, to embrace greater levels of vulnerability as the Christ within us makes us, informs us, and shapes us more and more into His image as He fills us with Himself. That in being full of His grace and truth, we not only have the privilege of being your children, we have the privilege of participating in your life and in your love, and in your mission. Help us, Lord, to magnify your greatness and to minimize what we tend to magnetize or magnify. And Lord, as we pray and as we hope and as we serve in those dark places, in places where it cannot be seen, and yet the places where you are so actively involved, may we, even as we struggle with the different types of doubts that come to us throughout our pilgrimage, may we constantly keep our eyes on you, that we may pray together, Lord, we believe, help our unbelief. Help us, we pray, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.